Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be here tonight. The Lord is really good. Jane could tell you, I went through kind of a battle earlier today, and I've been kind of fighting a cold. Hadn't really had one for quite a long time, and then kind of have been fighting one the last few days, and my head was really heavy earlier today, and I just felt like I couldn't think, and I tried to lay down and felt all the worse for it. And I finally called Jane and said, you know, you better just have a sermon ready from your dad just in case I can't make it here tonight and speak, or I'd probably make it but not be able to speak. And it was so amazing. I made the phone call and she said she'd get one ready. And lo and behold, I don't know who it was that was praying, if it was in the middle of the night somewhere or somebody even driving in the car or whoever it was, or maybe it was several of you, somehow I was suddenly better. It was just an amazing thing. I just, that heaviness in my head was gone, and I'm still fighting a bit of a cold, but it was so amazingly better. And I thought, wow, Lord, I guess maybe you do want me to get up here tonight after all and say a few things. So praise the Lord, here I am. By the grace of God, I'm here tonight. And God is here too. He's been here to help us and to meet our needs. And I'm so thankful. Let's just go to Him in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord Jesus, for everything that You've done, Lord. Oh, God, the mightiness of Your power, Your ability. Oh, God, oh, Lord, the fact that You are with us. Oh, God, that You strive with us, Lord, that You help us, God. Oh, God, that You have mercy on us. God, I just pray, oh, Lord, that You'd be here right now in Jesus' name, that You'd have mercy on everyone, oh, Lord, who's in this auditorium, Lord, oh, Lord, even in the basement, Lord, I pray that You'd be there. And God, I just pray, oh God, that You'd help everybody online. And God, all that will hear this message, Lord, I pray that it would go forth to do Your will, Lord. Oh God, oh, what You have ordained, oh Lord, with this message, I pray in Jesus' name, oh Lord, that every power from beneath would be bound and cast out, every work of darkness, Lord, let it be gone in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood, Lord, for we need You here, Jesus. God, we need that overcoming strength and the power that comes from You. And I pray in Jesus' name and thank You, God. Be here in the midst of Your people and talk to us, Lord. Oh God, I pray that Your presence would be here, that You'd fill us mightily with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I know we've been praying for Brother Lance a lot, and I'm not sure exactly what's going on right there right now. I know I just have been frequently bringing him to the Lord, but I'm going to start with one of his verses here tonight, one that I remember him leading in when he was here preaching, a couple of years ago or so. But anyway, I'm going to call this Ask Ye of the Lord Rain. Ask Ye of the Lord Rain, and we're going to go to Zechariah, the 10th chapter, Zechariah 10, and the very first verse there. Ask Ye of the Lord Rain. Praise the Lord. That 10th chapter, Zechariah, and that first verse here, it says, Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone, grass in the fields. Praise the Lord. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone, grass in the field. Oh, praise the Lord. I think about a year ago, we started just coming into some unseasonable weather. It's Wisconsin here, and right now it's pretty cold, and we've had snow lately. Amen. But last year on this time, it seems to me it was getting warm. And I think we got a little confused as to even where we were. I think we were having weather for probably you all down there in Texas, perhaps. And it was really something, because spring came really early here. And, you know, it was kind of nice in a way, but yet it didn't seem right. And I just had trouble enjoying it because it was too strange. But, you know, it didn't lead really to good things, because we soon found out what it was to have a drought And I don't remember a drought like that ever before. And as those months went by and as summer was upon us, we found out what it was like more so to be in a desert. It really wasn't pretty at all. The grass was all brown, and you could see the dandelions poking up, the only live thing, just the weeds that were poking up out of the grass. And I just thought it looked like a desert with cacti plants almost piercing that desert ground. But here we were experiencing a drought. And we found out rather quickly how important rain is, how important moisture is to the earth. If it doesn't rain, you're not going to be able to grow crops. I remember one occasion, Brother Tim and I had gone someplace and we stopped at a farm, actually, and they had a sign for organic produce out there, and we thought, wow, let's go see what they have. And you know what? They didn't hardly have anything, maybe a couple of zucchini or something. And they said everything they had planted hadn't grown, and they were, you know, putting more seeds in the soil at that time and hoping for something to grow. But, you know, here it was summer, and they should have had some crops. But that's what drought does. Things don't grow, and you soon find out how important it is to have rain. But that is the natural rain. That's the rain that cometh down from the Lord above. And there's another rain that we need to talk about here tonight. And that's a spiritual rain. That's a spiritual rain. If we need the natural rain, how much more the spiritual rain that comes from the Lord. And here in Zechariah, the 10th chapter, it says again, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone, grass in the field. Now that's for the asking. That's for the asking. And as I remember in years earlier, people used to ask for the rain a lot more than it seems to me they ask. Right now, I remember as a young person in my home church, as a child, that every time after service, after the message was done, the altars would be full of people. Everybody would come up front and pray and cry out to the Lord. And there are people that were seeking the Holy Ghost. It happened all the time. And praise the Lord, some nights people would pray through. And it was wonderful in those ways. But there were always people tearing for the Holy Ghost. And, you know, even years before that, and I don't remember these days, but there used to be a movement in the Methodist churches. They used to go out in the fields, it came to me, as I have heard, and they used to call them howling Methodists because they were known to be crying out to the Lord, and many of them would receive the Holy Ghost right there out in the open. But something happened. By the time I was a young girl, Methodists that I knew no longer did that. And that can so easily happen. People can be in one position at one point in their life, and things can develop in their life, and they can forget the good things of God. But it's time for people to ask. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. We are in the time of the latter rain. That time before the Lord's coming, the latter rains were so important. They would water the final harvest so that it could bring forth and be in a successful harvest. It was so important to have those latter rains come right at that right moment to secure that crop. Amen. And so it is here. Here we are, this time before the Lord's coming, and we need rain. We need that spiritual rain to fall from heaven. We need those bright clouds, those wonderful flashing bright clouds, as the Hebrew brings out for that word bright, to be seen in our midst. We need people crying out at the altars and tearing for the Holy Ghost. There's so many stories from the earlier years. I know my dad used to tell this story about this woman. Oh, she wanted the Holy Ghost, but she just, you know, she didn't want to make a scene when she received the Holy Ghost. And the truth is, you've got to want the Holy Ghost so badly that you don't care. And so she just, you know, she had made an issue of it. And, you know, she's a sophisticated woman. And, you know, she was just going to be pristine and, you know, just maybe proper and, you know, figure the Lord would fill her with the Holy Ghost. Well, one night she got the Holy Ghost. But do you know where she was? She was behind the piano. And I think everything had changed a little bit there, because I don't think it was very clean behind the piano, and I don't think she looked very pretty at that moment, but I know she didn't care. She didn't care because there was something in her soul. She wanted the Holy Ghost, and she didn't care what it took that night. And wow, that's what happens when somebody really wants God in their life. They don't care anymore. They don't care if, you know, you're going to get all dirty and wrinkled and, you know, bends in your shoes and everything else. It's not going to matter anymore, because there's something you want more than anything else. You want the Holy Ghost. You want the Holy Ghost in your life. And I've seen it here. All of us who have received the Holy Ghost got to that place where it didn't matter. I remember all of you. Well, Tim out of the water too, and he had the Holy Ghost before, I think. But you know, there were those moments when we came to the Lord. And yeah, I remember Jane and Anna that Passover Eve when God so beautifully filled them with the Holy Ghost. It was a wonderful night, and believe me, they didn't care at that moment. It was just wonderful to be in God's presence and know that joy of the Holy Ghost. Oh, the Holy Ghost is such a wonderful blessing. It's been something that was desired forever by the people of God. Let's just look at some verses here. That precious Holy Ghost. Let's go to 2 Peter here for a moment here. The very first chapter, the end of that chapter. 2 Peter, first chapter, verse 20 and 21. This is how the scripture came in days of the old covenant. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. It doesn't matter what you personally think about the scripture. God wrote it, and that's what counts. It's his interpretation that's going to matter. But then it says in verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was working in his people at that point. But it wasn't like it was a consistent thing within them at that point. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost would come upon them and they would speak forth. We find that in Luke, the first chapter, in several instances there. That story unfolds there, we have Zechariah. And we know that the angel had come to him and told him at that earlier point that he was going to have a son and all of those details. And of course, that son was born, and we know that he was John. He was John the Baptist. But of course, Zacharias had gone through that period of time where he was dumb, where he couldn't speak. And finally came that moment. It was the eighth day when the child was circumcised, and the relatives all thought the name should be Zacharias after the father, but the mother said, not so, his name shall be called John, as the angel had told Zacharias. And of course they protested and think that was the proper name, but Zacharias got out his writing table and he wrote, his name is John, and they marveled. And then God loosened his tongue and he began to speak and praise God. And it was a wonderful thing. And it tells us in verse 67 that Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, so God loosed his tongue, and then later he was able to prophesy. It came forth as the Holy Ghost came upon him at that moment. And it also happened to Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And it tells us earlier in this chapter that she too was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. And likewise, Mary, it doesn't use the word Holy Ghost at that point, but obviously what she was doing was prophesying. So the Holy Ghost came upon her, all three of them, in this first chapter of Luke. So that's how it happened in the times of old. The prophets, the Holy Ghost would come upon them, the Spirit of God, that is, would come upon them, and they would bring forth God's word. It would come upon them, and they would be able to tell it. But there was something that was yet to come that was not fulfilled in their time period. Let's also now go to 1 Peter. And we're going to go to the first chapter, 1 Peter also. And looking at verse 9 to begin here, it says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. As I have just stated, the Lord would come upon them. And of course, it wouldn't maybe properly be the Holy Ghost at that point, because it wasn't, the ghost is the spirit of a departed one, and Jesus was not yet come, and he was not yet departed. So, but the Spirit of God came upon them, and they would prophesy. But there was something else. It says in verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. There was going to be something that was not yet available. And it says in verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Oh, praise the Lord, there was something that was going to come forth, something very precious that was going to come forth. It was not for the prophets at that time, even though they were anointed by the Spirit of God. Yet they did not have the Holy Ghost within them, and they desired it, they wanted it. They inquired of it. And likewise, the angels too. The angels also had a desire for the gift of the Holy Ghost. But it was not yet given yet. Jesus was not yet glorified. And it was not yet given yet. It wasn't for their time period. It was for another dispensation or period of time called grace. And praise the Lord. Somehow the Lord has had mercy on us. And we're in that dispensation of grace. We're in that time period where the Holy Ghost has been outpoured. And praise the Lord, it's for all of us. Amen. Amen. It's all that have believed the good report and given their life to the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Of course, we know in the 22nd chapter of Luke, there was this little struggle with Simon Peter, and just being rather brief here, Luke 22, the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, this is the 31st verse here in chapter 22 of Luke. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But Jesus said, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So in spite of the fact that Peter had left all and followed Jesus Christ, he had not yet been converted. There was something that needed to follow in his life to give him strength, to give him power, to enable him to do the works of God. He had yet to be converted. And Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And praise the Lord, you know, obviously Jesus prayed for Peter, and you know what? I have a feeling he prayed for us too. I know that 17th chapter of John talks about Jesus' prayer there, and it's so precious because he not only prayed for those that were his at that moment, but those that would follow, and that includes us. Praise the Lord, that prayer that brought us to Calvary, that brought us to Jesus. Praise the Lord, that prayer that our faith would not fail and that we would be converted. Praise the Lord, and have strength that came from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, going to the 24th chapter of Luke here, just a moment, just before Jesus ascended. And here he is. He's declaring the good news here and what they were to expect. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And now that promise. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. Oh, praise the Lord. That was that promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus had foretold of it. He had told that it would come upon them, and that it would be life-changing. It would convert them. It would change their life. And of course, Jesus had said in the 7th chapter of John, that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. It couldn't come until Jesus had been received up into the heavens and glorified, till he had that glorified body. That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And also in John, that third chapter, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and, you know, he wanted to know what the plan of God was. It Jesus began to expound it to him, and of course told him that he needed to be born again, and that if he was not born again of the water and of the Spirit, he could not enter into the kingdom of God. And then that fact that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And then here's the description of that new birth. In verse 8 here of chapter 3 of John, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There is a sound that accompanies the receiving of the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that is what Jesus was telling Nicodemus, who came to him by night, a ruler of the Jews. He was telling him, the wind's going to blow where it lists. And you can hear that sound, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going to go. And so it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. There's going to be a sound that accompanies it. Praise the Lord, the sound of the new birth. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. Our God is so good. Amen. There are many scriptures in the Old Testament that foretold of the outpouring of God's Spirit upon all flesh. And let's just go to a few of them if we could here. Let's go to Hosea, the 6th chapter here for a moment. Okay, Hosea 6, verses 1 through 3. It says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. And praise the Lord Jesus came on that third day. And it says in verse 3, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Praise the Lord. There was that promise. The Lord was going to send forth his Spirit. It was going to be as the rain falling. And on the day of Pentecost, that rain fell on those 120 people approximately who were in that upper room. That rain of the Holy Ghost fell. But here were words to foretell of that wonderful event that would follow and change their lives. Let's also go to Isaiah, the 30th chapter. Let's look at verse 15 here for a moment. It says, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. But here the Lord God was trying to tell his people that there was going to be a method of salvation. It's in returning and rest. Returning and rest. And this is so interesting here. Returning back to the Lord. An act of repentance. We talked last week of how Elijah brought the children of Israel back to the Lord. They had turned to Baal. They didn't know who God was. They were confused. And that was one of Elijah's abilities, his enablement that the Lord gave him to return the Israelites back to the Lord. And he did by calling for fire. The Lord sent that fire. But it was a need to return back to the Lord. They had forgotten who the God of Israel was. They were backslidden. They were serving other gods. They needed to get back with the Lord. And it was so precious because after they returned to the Lord, then the rain could fall. Then the rain could fall. And wow, there's a need for people to get right with God. There's a need for people to repent and turn to God, to return to the God of the Bible. Amen. What a need there is for returning. And then it says, and rest shall you be saved. And that word rest comes out several places in the Bible relating to the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's several places in the Scripture. And it states here, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. In other words, it was going to be a work that the Lord would do. They would rest from their labors, as it tells us in Hebrews the 4th chapter. They would come unto Jesus, who is the rest. And that would be their salvation. It would not be in works that they could do themselves, but it would be in that quietness and in confidence that the Lord only could do, that rest that he would give for his people. People want to do things themselves. It says in that 16th verse, but ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Oh boy, therefore shall ye flee. And yeah, we will ride upon the swift. Oh my, it's not going to work. Not going to work. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. There's other verses that relate here. If we could just go to a couple other places. I want to turn to Jeremiah, the 6th chapter here for a moment. And here's the 16th verse, and there's this reference to rest for your souls. Let's look at the 16th verse here, Jeremiah 6. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein? And ye shall find rest for your souls. But here it is again, that obstinance, that unwillingness to let the Lord give them rest. But they said, we will not walk therein. Oh my, how very disappointing. Something so precious that the Lord would give rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Of course, the next verse says, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Oh my, such obstinance in the face of God's provisions and God's will. Let's also go to the 28th chapter of Isaiah. Let's look at verse 9 to begin here in Isaiah 28. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. It all had to fall in an orderly manner. One precept must follow another one. One line must follow another, here a little and there a little. And here it is, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is a refreshing, yet they would not hear. Oh, he has something good for his people. He is offering them rest. But it says, they would not hear. It's rest and it's refreshing, yet they would not hear. Of course, we just read in the 30th chapter of Isaiah, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. Why is it people so reluctant to receive the good things of God? So reluctant when God offers beautiful rest, beautiful rest. Let's also look at Matthew 11 here for a moment. Jesus talked about that rest. He offered it to his people too. He foretold of it. It was to be for his people. And of course it fell on the day of Pentecost. But here as the chapter ends here in Matthew 11, the the last verses here. Read. Let's read them. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, here's the Lord Jesus speaking. All you that labor and are heavy laden. And he's talking about the burdens of life, the things that are too hard for us to carry alone, the things that we can't even do ourselves. There is no way. It's too hard. It's too unbearable. We can't make it without the Lord. But he said, take my yoke upon you. Oh, take my yoke upon you. Put my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Oh, a rest from your labors, from your bondage, from all the things that keep you down, discourage, that keep you in sin, all of those things that are a hindrance to the soul and a snare. But the Lord Jesus has offered rest. But it's coming to him. It's coming to him and resting from our labors that we gather this rest. It's not of ourself. As he said in Isaiah 28, explaining this rest, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Oh my, it's so sad, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept. It was written, it was orderly, it was precept upon precept. Line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Oh my, it's a snare, it's a hindrance, it's a trap for those that will not receive the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is altogether different for those that refuse this rest. And obviously, there are many that refuse it. In all three of these chapters, Isaiah 28, Isaiah 30, and Jeremiah 6, it talks about the rest. And in every case, it says, yet they would not. Yet they would not. They didn't accept it. And Jesus' beautiful appeal, oh my, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, praise the Lord. We've been offered such a beautiful thing from the Lord. Such a beautiful thing from the Lord Jesus. Micah 4 also talks about that rest. If we could go to the minor prophet Micah and the fourth chapter of Micah. And here it's talking about the last days. And the last days began on the day of Pentecost with the outpouring of God's Spirit. Jesus was bringing forth that new covenant and the time period that would be considered the last days. And it says in verse 1 here, chapter 4 of Micah, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And praise the Lord, this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. This is what happened. There were many there in that city of Jerusalem on that feast day of Pentecost. And of course, there were several of them, believers in the upper room. But it was a representation, as that Holy Ghost was outpoured on that day, of many nations, of many people. And that cry that came forth of their heart, they had that within them. The Lord was directing them, and they felt that impetus to go to Jerusalem. Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. The temple was high. It was high up there. You know, Solomon's porch was so high that if you stood in the pinnacle there was a drop of 400 feet into the valley below. It was pretty high. And so here is that call to come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that temple where the Holy Ghost was poured out there on the day of Pentecost. And he will teach of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Oh, praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost is so many things. It's the word of God in our hearts. He puts that word in our inward parts. We look at Jeremiah here, the 31st chapter, for a moment. Here he talks about that new covenant. If you look at the 31st verse, also in the 31st chapter, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." He was going to put his spirit in our hearts, in the hearts of his people, so we could all know the Lord. We wouldn't have to go to the prophet. We wouldn't have to go to the priest to know the Lord and have them interpret the scripture. He would put that spirit within us so that we could personally know him and walk in his ways and have that law in our inward parts. Let's also go back to Isaiah 30 just for a moment. I just want to catch a portion of scripture yet there. And as it continues there, we read that, "In returning and rest shall you be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not." But let's also, as it just goes on to describe what the Lord was going to pour out there. Oh, praise the Lord. The beautiful blessing of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers." Oh my, the scribes would gather students around them, and there would be many students probably to one scribe. And you know, I don't know that they talked with great authority, because they all marveled at Jesus' authority when he came to earth and spoke, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. But there were the teachers in those days were called scribes, and they would gather their students around them. There could be many students under one scribe. And the students were told to memorize everything that they told them faithfully, to keep it in memory. That was important. And they were also to teach exactly what they were told. That was their instructions, to memorize what they were told and not to teach anything else. But praise the Lord, God had another plan. He was going to put that law in our inward parts. And it says here in verse 20, "Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, the Lord gives his people direction so that we know the way, so that we're not lost, so we know how to go and where to go and what to do and what to say. Amen. Amen. It's all directed by the Lord. In verse 22, I like this also. It says, "Ye shall defile also the covering of the graven images of silver and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, Get thee hence." Oh my, when the Lord gets a hold of us and changes us, we don't want those graven images anymore. We don't want those idols in our life, whatever they are. We want the Lord to be first, and those other things go. They go. We say, "Get thee out of here. Cast them away as ugly old menstruous cloth." Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord is good, but he changes us. He doesn't want us to stay the same. He puts us, his spirit in us, so that we'll be different, so we'll have power, so that we'll have enablement, so we can walk with him and hear that word that he speaks to us so we can know his voice. He's the good shepherd, and there's no other voice that we really need to know. We need to know the voice of the good shepherd so that we don't follow another one and get lost and get confused and listen to somebody else that isn't of God. But that voice of the Holy Ghost speaks to our heart, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, oh, praise the Lord, that voice speaks to us. And verse 23 says, then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and the bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. Oh my, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, there in the Psalms. And God's people go forth sowing, bringing forth precious seed. And it says, we will doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing our seed with us. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's a harvest when we live for the Lord and we live in victory and we let him work through us, when we rest in the Lord and let him move in our life. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. The Holy Ghost was to be a rest. Of course, we know it fell on the day of Pentecost. It fell in a great manner. It felt in a wonderful way. And wow, they heard it. They heard the manifestation of the outpouring of God's Spirit. If we just go quickly here to Acts, the second chapter, we could just read these familiar verses, but here they are. It says in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, oh, it was funny that day, then they all were gathering there. Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. And here they are. The day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And then it says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire. Those tongues were split, and it set upon each of them. And there was a manifestation, something that could be heard. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. There was a sound that came with that infilling of the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues, just as it said in Isaiah 28, for with stammering lips in another tongue will he speak unto this people. This is the rest, wherewith ye may call the weary to rest. This is a refreshing, yet they would not hear. That was the promise of God. He had identified it. And finally it had fallen here on the day of Pentecost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And oh, Peter, oh, now he's changed. Now he's converted. And he stood up with the 11 and he lifted up his voice there in verse 14 to answer those that thought, oh, this was too strange. Because they could all, there were many gathered there on the day of Pentecost, there in Jerusalem, there outside the temple. It identifies them. They could hear every man speaking in their own tongue, their native tongues. It was a marvel. They were all speaking in other tongues. Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Pergia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Oh my, they were so amazed. They were yet in doubt, some of them, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. This is nonsense to some of them. They would not hear, obviously. But there's Peter. Now he's converted here. This 14th verse, he's standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And here he's quoting from the second chapter of Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. and on my servants and on my handmaidens. I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And praise the Lord. Here's identified the pouring out of God's spirit. Peter clearly said, standing up with the 11, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He's identifying it. That prophecy actually of old times there by the prophet Joel was now completed. It was now in the making. They were hearing it coming to life as that gift of the Holy Ghost was outpoured, and they were going forth speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. That was the completion of that sound of the new birth. That sound as the Lord Jesus entered into their life and changed them. Oh, praise the Lord. Those cloven tongues like as a fire. It's so precious. Our God is so good. There's several other places I would like to go, and perhaps the Lord will allow me to continue this. But as I was thinking about this today, I recalled that, back when I was, I guess late teen or early 20s, we heard of a working of the Lord in the city of St. Louis, Missouri. And not that this never happened before, but they had a deaf and dumb class in one of the churches there in St. Louis. And they would be down in the basement area of this large church, and at times they would hear a great noise coming down from that deaf and dumb class down there in the basement. And although these people couldn't normally speak at all, and they were deaf besides, all at once the power of the Lord was upon them, and they were speaking in tongues. Manifested the gift of the Holy Ghost. Manifesting the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it happened. It happened again and again there in that city of St. Louis, there in that basement of that large church. The gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out upon those people that normally didn't speak a word, couldn't even hear. But God poured out His Spirit upon them, and suddenly they were speaking forth the wonderful works of God. Praise the Lord. The Lord was with them. Amen. Oh, God is so good. And oh, you know, the Holy Ghost is such a wonderful thing. I just also was just thinking years ago, I decided to attend a Baptist camp meeting one evening. I had Baptist friends in high school, and they always were after me to go with them to church. So I guess I did this one time and went to a Baptist service there on the campgrounds. And, well, I'll say, okay. It was afterwards, and they had a campfire. And I allowed for testimonies, and I just stood up and testified of the gift of the Holy Ghost in front of them all, and didn't really get any reactions that I could hear. I don't know what they were all thinking, but I just had an opportunity and took advantage of it. But it was as we were going to the car, I was with my friends, and lo and behold, there was somebody that I knew. And it was a cousin of mine, and her name was Barbara. And, oh, it couldn't have been just too much before that. I had to help pray her through to the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it was so amazing because although I was with my friends who were Baptists, and you know, we were close and shared a lot of good things of God. I could talk to them about the Lord. That's one reason we were so close. Yet when I saw Barbara, it was like a magnet. It was really something. I was with these other people, but I could feel the Holy Ghost in her. It wasn't the same with my Baptist friends. It was like a magnet, and it was such a draw. I just, you know, sometimes you can't tell it when you're among, you know, others that are filled with the Holy Ghost. But here I was in this other environment, and wow, that surge of His Spirit that I could feel when I saw her, it was just such a testimony. I just, it was such a revelation to me. And I remember it was maybe around that same time, perhaps. I remember it was a new school year, and I had to catch the bus. So my high school was some distance away, and I remember I think it was the first day of a new year there. And I remember climbing up onto that bus, and I could tell that driver had the Holy Ghost. I could tell that draw of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like it. If that Spirit of God dwells in us, it can be felt. It changes us. There's an impact there. There's a difference. It's that resurrecting power, that Spirit that was in Jesus Christ that raised Him from the dead. I know Romans 8th chapter tells us, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That quickening Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And there's just nothing like it. There's nothing to compare. But as I began this study here tonight, why is it so few people ask? We've been given this invitation, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. It's that latter rain right now. It's that time when God will still pour out of His Spirit. But why is it? Why are so few people asking for God's greatest gift? Why is it that so many people refuse it? It's so available. As Jesus said, "Oh, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Rest for your souls. There's nothing like the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like it to compare at all. And perhaps I do have a few minutes yet. Let's go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Because in this 4th chapter of Hebrews, we are given a rather sober warning. And here it is. It tells us in the 3rd chapter of Hebrews, it talks about how the Hebrew people were not able to enter into rest because they didn't believe God. They had unbelief, and they were disobedient, and they failed. We know of those that were to enter into the promised land, that of that older generation, there were only two of them that entered in. The rest died in the wilderness because of unbelief, it tells us in the 3rd chapter of Hebrews. But then it goes on in the 4th chapter of Hebrews, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise be left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As He said, as I was sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, there was the rest of the Sabbath day." And that was compared to the rest of the Holy Ghost. It says in verse 4, "For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest." Notice if they shall enter into my rest. "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterwards have spoken of another day?" There was another period of time. There was another dispensation that would follow a period of rest. It says in verse 9, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." A rest for the people of God. And it explains in verse 10, "For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." Oh my, when you let the rest of the Lord come into your life, it's not because of your own works. is because you've given your heart to the Lord. You've yielded your life to the Lord, and now you're ready to receive His Spirit. You've ceased from your own works. You've given it to God, as God did from His, after those days of creation. And then it tells us in verse 11, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." It says labor. You know, in my younger days, those altars used to be full of people seeking for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And sometimes it didn't happen. Sometimes it took years. I was recalling a young woman. They had moved up from Florida, and his name was Joel Veely, and I honestly don't remember his wife's first name at this moment, but she was a very dear person. And I know she loved the Lord, but she had not yet received the gift of the Holy Ghost. It had been years that she had been asking and inquiring and asking, and she was a very earnest person. Just, you know, to know her, you knew that she loved the Lord, but she had not yet received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I remember a revival service when God poured out His Spirit upon her. Oh my, her labor was ended. Finally, she entered into that rest, and I just remember looking at her countenance. Oh my, it was beautiful. You could see the rest of the Lord upon her face. You knew that she had received that precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And therefore, sometimes it might not come when you expect it to always, though when you want it with all your heart, when you've given everything to the Lord, He will pour out of His Spirit. But here it says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." They fell in the wilderness because they didn't believe God. They didn't attain the promise of rest, entering into Canaan land, which was a type and shadow of rest. But God has yet a rest for the people of God. And that's the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, that precious gift of Jesus Christ that comes and dwells in our heart and changes us, that converting power that came into Peter's life and changed him so that he could get up on the day of Pentecost and speak and declare the good word of God and not be afraid. And as it says in Isaiah 28, again, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." Verse 11, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing.' Yet they would not hear." Oh, let's give heed. The Holy Ghost is for all that the Lord our God shall call, as Peter declared on the day of Pentecost, "And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." That rest is for His people. Amen. "There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God." And as it says there in Hebrews the 4th chapter, "For he that is entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost is for us. And I want to see that outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I want to see that revival spirit. When people want that Holy Ghost more than anything else, it will fall. It will fall upon the hungry. It will fall upon the thirsty land. It will fall upon the hearts that seek the Lord with all their hearts. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, sister. Oh, wonderful sermon. It's really good. Praise God. Here's your water.
I could get untangled here.